Is that how you're going to sit?
Fuck yeah, it is.
Hi, this is Rachel McElroy.
Yeah, this
McElroy.
Is gonna how I'm sitting on this one. It's Griffin McElroy, the cool sitter.
And this is wonderful. Griffin is sitting.
I feel like you talk about how I sit on this show a lot.
Like a frontiersman.
I do kind of feel like I've just slain a bear and I turned him into a new house for me and my wife and our kids.
Mm-hmm.
We're all sick with something, but it's okay because I've just turned a bear into a big house and now I'm sitting down comfortably.
I do also want to make sure the listeners at home realize not just that you're sitting like a frontiersman, but you got a nice new haircut.
I have a nice new haircut.
You can't hear it in the audio, but it looks great.
I sat down on a barrel and three birds flew down and chomped it all off right outside of my new bear house that I live in. And thank you all for listening to our show. It's a fun time around here because we're about to go on a big cruise and a big fun family trip. And also the Max Fun Drive's coming up, so we're just cranking it out right now. We're on our grind right now. I feel fine about it for this show because there's no shortage of good things out there, I feel
like. You know,
like.
That's true.
There's always more things.
Uh-huh.
Universe is infinite, technically speaking, probably. People think. I don't know. I'm real little in the grand scheme of things. So who am I? Do you have any small wonders?
I do.
Hit me.
Really good customer service.
It's so important.
Especially when you order stuff online.
Mm-hmm.
So I did this thing today where I thought I was going to order something online. And then as soon as I submitted my order, I regretted it.
Yeah.
And so like 5 minutes after I ordered it, I canceled it. And they like got back to me right away and were like, please come back, and gave me like a coupon for my next purchase.
That is
so
sweet.
And I just thought, what a great company.
We just had to cancel a few flights with an airline, and I'm not going to put them on blast. But the person I spoke to on the phone was so helpful as she explained that they were going to charge us $200 per ticket.
Oh, no.
Yeah, so they rogered us, but good on that one. But they were really sweet
when they explained
how they were going to do it. I'm going to say spaghetti.
Oh, that's a good one.
I don't think you can go wrong with spaghetti. I know I've talked about, what did I talk about? I talked about lasagna, which is like spaghetti's big flat cousin. But man, you just can't beat spaghetti.
Griffin and I went to a nice Italian restaurant here not long ago.
We did.
And I was just so excited to have Italian food because it is always what I want.
Yes, it was, Locadoro here in Austin. It was very nice, very nice.
Yeah.
What if we did like a restaurant review podcast, but an extremely localized one? How many people live in Austin? If we could net like half of them, I think we could make a sustainable podcast.
We have a fair number of wonderful Austin listeners, but I have a feeling they would tire of that podcast.
I think they would. And also, we don't know anything about food.
Yeah, and also, we only go out like once a month.
That is true also. Who goes first this week?
I think it's you.
I think it is me also. My first thing is being on a boat.
Oh.
When you're on a boat, the feeling that you have when you're on a boat.
Okay, now, can you provide a little background as to how many boats you have been on?
Seven, maybe. 7 to 20. And I know that's a pretty wide range.
Now, are we including canoes?
I want to include every sort of watercraft imaginable here. Okay. If you include every kind of watercraft, it's we're in the triple digits.
Because I will say we are about to go on a cruise. We have not been on a cruise ship before.
I want to make that clear.
We've never been on a yacht.
That's not true for me. I went to a party at Comic-Con on a yacht. It was pretty tight.
Wow.
It was pretty good. I don't want to drop names, but there was pretty big names. Let's just say it was Crom Twos, if you know what I'm saying. Wink, wink, wink.
I have Tom Cruise. Oh.
It was his big yacht.
Was it called the Cruiser?
It was called the Cruiser. Yeah, he actually made it say Cruises Cruiser, which is like, we get it. You didn't have to double up.
What about Cruising for a Bruising?
Cruising for a Cruising is what it said.
Cruising for a Crazing.
It wasn't Tom Cruise. But we are about to put our money. I am about to put my money on where my mouth is by going on the Joko Cruise, because it's going to be certainly the longest continuous boat being on that I've ever done by a pretty large margin. My boating experience is admittedly kind of limited, but I'm always excited about the opportunity to be on a boat or some sort of water craft thing, whether it's a pontoon boat or a barge or a canoe or a raft or whatever. We just went out with a group of friends for a friend's birthday out on a pontoon boat out on Lake Travis, and it was really nice. And just being out there on the water made me realize, like, I like this. I like this, I think.
Yeah, I remember when I first met you, you had just returned from a 4th of July weekend in which you spent a fair amount of time on a lake.
Yes.
And you were real jazzed about it.
That was mostly raft-based. Okay. Raft-based activities. But yeah, so when I was trying to think of what I really like about being out on water on a boat, my first big reason is that it's not the land. And that's kind of wild. It's like you're in another sort of realm of the earth that we live on. And really, that realm is the biggest one. It's quite bigger than the land realm. You can't discount the fact that you're sort of exploring, you're experiencing the world on a completely different kind of surface. I think that's very good. Like, what's even out there on the water? I don't know, because I don't go out there very often.
I wish I came in here and you had a dry erase board on the wall and it just showed your thought process for putting together a wonderful topic. Because I can see you writing down boat and then an arrow. And then land, and then a line.
I've written Y in big capital letters, and then like circled it. I'm just saying. I look out at a swamp, and I'm like, I can't go out there. But then I get on a hovercraft, and I can. Yeah. I have been on a hovercraft before. My nanny took me out on one down in Florida, and we had ourselves a great time. I did not like the loud noise that the hovercraft made, but I like being out there. It just makes you being out there on water makes you feel like anything's possible because now you're on water. And you shouldn't be.
Okay.
Number two, I don't usually get boat sick, but that may change on the cruise. Hopefully it doesn't. But I like the experience of just kind of being on a surface that's not exactly steady. I think that it's very soothing. I think that it can be very nice.
Question.
Yes.
Does this thrill apply to plane usage for you?
Oh, God, no.
Because you're up in the air.
It's different. Okay. If while I was up in the air, the plane, I don't like plane movement when I'm up in the air. I'm not like afraid to fly or anything like that, but like I don't enjoy turbulence, if that's what you're asking. But if the turbulence was like a gentle swaying back and forth side to side, like I'm a baby in a cradle, you think about it. That's kind of what being in the womb is like.
Yeah.
It's like being on a boat.
I mean, I don't remember, but I can imagine.
I think that's a Jimmy Buffett lyric, being in something about a boat being like a womb. And
we need to have Justin McElroy on ready for questions like this.
I mean, I could probably get his number. It wasn't his boat either. I'm never going to say what yacht I was on. You'll have to guess. You also, if you're on the ocean, you don't only get that feel of the rocking and the rowing. You get the smell of the salt and the feel of the breeze and the sound of the ocean. It's a sensory explosion. It's so nice. I'm very excited to get out on that big boat. Number three, being on a boat is also usually tied to some other fun activity, whether it is jumping off the boat and swimming with all your friends, having a good time, or, whitewater rafting, which I've done before and very much enjoy, having some brews with your buds as long as you have a designated boat driver, because I don't fuck with that. Nobody gets on a boat to do their taxes, you know?
Have you ever driven a boat?
Have I driven a boat? You're talking about a boat with like a motor on it?
Yes. How else would you drive it?
Well, I was going to say, like, I've driven a kayak.
Well, that's paddling, dear.
That's fine. I have not. I think I'd be really good at it.
I'm really curious what it's like. You think they'll let me drive the cruise ship?
I think they probably will if you ask very nicely.
Give me a little cruise pin to put on, like a little miniature pilot.
I like that a lot. You've painted a wonderful picture. Reason number four, and this may be the most important reason, boats have the best terminology. Boats have the best terminology.
Yes.
When I played that Return of the Obra Dinn game, I had to learn very much about how boats work to solve them. It's such a good fucking game.
Do you understand the difference between like starboard and...
Starboard to the right, ports to the left. Yes.
Oh.
More about like job roles on the ship, like what the top man does and what a midshipman does.
You say all this, but you won't watch Below Deck with me.
Rachel's been getting really into Below Deck. If Below Deck was... if it was a bigger crew and also they didn't cater to just universally horrible people, I might be into it.
Okay,
here's a few words that I learned today when looking at boat terminology.
Okay.
A thwart. means perpendicular to the ship's center line, athwart. I don't know when you would have to use that specific direction.
Is it
direction.
Two words or one?
One word, athwart.
Athwart.
It's like thwart, like you can thwart somebody's plans, with an A in front of it. Okay. Gunwale, which is a fucking great word that does sound like, you know, Baby Beluga strikes back. Uh-huh. It's a gunwale. It's actually G-U-N-W-A-L-E. That's the upper edge of the side of a boat.
Wow.
And then this one I'd heard before, but I hadn't really appreciated how phonetically pleasing it is. Mizzenmast.
I have heard the mizzenmast.
Like, it's the shorter mast located aft of the main mast on a yawl or a ketch. The mizzenmast. Oh, the yawl and ketch is also extremely good, extremely powerful. You can make up boat terminology. I would be none the wiser.
Yeah, it's true.
It's just boats themselves are their own little universe, and they let you explore parts of our world that otherwise are inaccessible to you.
It's kind of amazing to me how boats float. I don't really know that I understand that.
You can't, we can't start,
like, you put a car in the water, it doesn't float.
Doesn't, why not?
But you put a boat in, does much float. Heavier, mm-hmm. does float.
Does float. Big boat, too.
Big boat.
Big boat. There's so many little mysteries like that in our world that if I start thinking about it, I start to get really panicky about
it. Okay.
What's your first thing?
My first thing. And you know what I've started thinking about a little bit?
Huh.
You know how in the episode description you say, like, Rachel's favorite X or whatever.
Yeah, I usually try to couch it sometimes if it's like Rachel's favorite poem about the state of Iowa written by.
I'm curious to see how you're going to spin this one.
Okay.
Because the thing I wanted to talk about this week is true crime.
True crime.
I don't want you to say like Rachel's favorite brutal murder.
Interesting. Yeah, I wouldn't say that in a million years.
Yeah.
This will be interesting to talk about.
Yeah.
I used to be right there with you, and now I am super not.
I held off for a while talking about this, even though I've been kind of really eating it up on the sly, because it's not a thing that I like that I feel like I'm especially proud of.
Sure.
But I started to do kind of a tally in my head of specifically true crime podcasts that I've been eating up.
And there's a lot of them.
Yes. I counted today and there are 7 of them. The most recent one, Over My Dead Body, which just came out.
Okay. That's a good name. They have the best. Now, I will give them this. It's not my favorite genre. They have the best names.
Typically, the ones I like are like an unsolved murder.
Yes.
Or like a death where there is some suspicion around it.
Yes. I guess we should mention here, this is So Not That podcast that I guess we're going to talk about murder for a little bit, which may not be your jam. But if that's true, then
I'm going to focus more on what about it is interesting.
That is good.
Not specifically like
the crimes themselves. Yeah. Yes, please.
So this kind of became a big thing because not only are there podcasts, but there's a lot of TV shows about it right now.
I mean, there've always been.
Yeah.
I mean, for sure. Did you watch Snapped? Snapped was my shit. When I was in like high school, I would watch Snapped and just be like, they sure did. They sure did.
Like the Staircase was really big for a while.
Yeah,
and then we watched some of that one that was on HBO. I can't remember what it was called. But I looked into the kind of the reasons behind people's interest in this.
Okay.
And it made a lot of sense to me. So there was an article in Mental Floss that kind of detailed a lot of the reasons. One of them talks about the adrenaline rush associated with it. As you kind of like, when you hear about this, you get this kind of like euphoric, like rush from like, oh my gosh, this crazy thing happened, but I'm okay. You know?
Okay, like, interesting.
And then also like the solving the mystery, you know, like being
you
able
think
to,
you're going to be the one to finally
to
crack
listen
it.
Listen along. And then also the being scared in a controlled way. Right?
Yes.
It's kind of similar to the same reason people like horror movies of like this feeling of like, I know I'm going to listen to this or I'm going to see this. And it's going to be okay at the end. I'm going to be a little freaked out in the middle and then I'm going to find out what happens and then I'm going to turn it off and then I'm going to be done.
That's like nothing new, right? Like that was Edgar Allan Poe had the whole like macabre fascination theory of, and that's like basic human nature stuff.
Mm-hmm. And then I also saw this interesting thing. So there was a study in 2010 by the Social Psychological and Personality Science Journal that revealed that women are more likely to be interested in true crime than men.
Why?
Well, so there's speculation. I read this this thing from Marnie Fuhrman, who is a clinical social worker and licensed marriage and family therapist. And she said, perhaps the biggest reason women are drawn to true crime is that most women live in fear on a daily basis that they can easily become a crime victim, and that many true crime stories end with the bad guy being caught. And that provides women with a sense of satisfaction to see the criminal brought to justice.
That is fascinating and bleak as hell.
I know, it's very terrible.
It's very bad.
It's very terrible. I have been listening to a lot of true crime podcasts when I take my walks.
Not great.
Which is not great. It definitely makes me more alert. I saw a lot of theories that like people are listening to these to become more prepared in case of emergency.
Okay.
Which I don't think that's why I listen.
But it's an added side effect.
But it has made me more vigilant.
Mm-hmm. Nobody's going to serial me.
Yeah, for sure.
I haven't listened to serial in a while.
So I kind of struggled to bring this up, but I recognized I was spending a lot of time enjoying it.
Yeah.
And felt like I need to bring this to the podcast because it is a genuine interest of mine that I have slowly been discovering, especially as my work schedule has become a little slow. It's like a nice little thrill in my day, you know?
Yeah, sure. I feel like it doesn't necessarily, it's a little incompatible with my like anxiety these days, but I feel like it as a medium for storytelling, like they are stories.
I mean, Serial was the podcast that I feel like everybody was like, oh, this is gold. And now there are like hundreds of them.
Yeah, sure.
If you go to the like society and culture section of iTunes, it's just full of them.
I mean, that didn't just launch the true crime sort of craze. That launched podcast storytelling craze.
The public awareness of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't think you should feel any shame for liking true crime podcasts. Like everybody on earth more or less does.
I know.
Should we start a true crime podcast? What is the opposite of a true crime podcast?
You know what we could do? We could get on Nextdoor.
Yeah.
And we could follow the package theft.
Yeah. We could follow. Every time somebody posts on Nextdoor, like, a strange man came to my door. It's like, the mail carrier?
We're like calling Amazon. Like, were you aware that packages are being stolen from front doorsteps? What are you doing about it?
We'd have to do episodes four times a day that would all just be labeled like gunshots
or fireworks.
Gunshots or fireworks. We used to be in a Facebook group in our old neighborhood that just was this very much all over. It got pretty wild.
People used to really kind of troll each other.
So there was like a younger generation that lived in the neighborhood that was like moving up there. And then there was a very old guard part of the neighborhood. And as you can imagine, like the two sort of hemispheres there, like jabbed each other from time to time.
Yeah, there were a lot of concern about the teens in the neighborhood.
Right, yeah, in a very overtly racist way coming from the sort of old guard. And the younger folks weren't really having any of it.
Yeah.
And then every 4th of July, the younger folks would get on every night on the 4th of July and just be like, there's gunshots everywhere. We have to get the fuck out of Austin. It was some fun little inter-neighborhood tension. But hey, can I steal you away? I got a jumbotron here, and this one is for Andrew, and it's from Diana, Katie, and Sarah, who say, hi, Andrew, it's your good friends Diana, Katie, and Sarah. We could tell you you're the world's best DM, but we'd rather remind you that you're seriously one of the coolest people on the planet. Don't fight us on this. It is now legally binding. Happy birthday, Andrew. I'm so glad they recognize our sort of legal authority over anything that we say out loud.
Yeah, this will hold up in court.
Yeah, so like in the big court case of the U.S. versus Boats, this episode is going to be submitted for evidence. Mm-hmm. And Boats is going to win.
Boats is going to win.
Do you want to read the other one here?
Oh. This message is for Rachel and Griffin, and it is from Sophie. And the message says, here's an idea for a restaurant called Pesto! ! The menu has a variety of pesto-covered foods, and the logo is a classic tux-clad magician with a top hat and a wand, and he's pulling a bunch of pesto noodles out of the hat, and he's saying, pesto change-o. I love pesto so much, but I only have $100 and that's not enough to open a restaurant. Someone help. Sophie, thank you so much. Thank you so much. I would like to see just the art for this.
Yeah.
Just a little magician, just with a wand, that's saying pesto change-o.
Yeah, I'd love to see that art illuminated as a neon sign hanging above the restaurant that this is going to be.
So, and it's like animated, so the wand goes up and down.
And the pesto pops out. Ah.
Oh, like a rabbit from a hat.
Damn, pesto's good.
Hi, I'm Joe Firestone.
And I'm Manolo Moreno.
And we're the hosts of Dr. Game Show, which is a podcast where we play games submitted by listeners, regardless of quality or content, with in-studio guests and callers from all over the world.
And you can win a custom magnet.
A custom magnet.
Subscribe now to make sure you get our next episode.
What's an example of a game, Manolo?
Pokemon or medication.
How do you play that?
You have to guess if something's a Pokemon name or medication.
Medication.
First time listener, if you want to listen to episode highlights and also know how to participate, follow Dr. Game Show on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter.
We'd love to hear
from
you.
It's really fun.
For the whole family, we'll be every other Wednesday starting March 13th, and we're coming to Max Fun!
Snorlax.
Pokemon?
Yes.
Nice.
Can I tell you about my second thing?
Yes.
I'm going to take us on back. Take us on back to the last decade. Pretty early on in the last decade, a special time for me when I was in high school, which was actually, I take it back, that was the least special, that was not a very special time. The only least, less special time was when I was in middle school. But high school, you know, it had its ups and downs. What it had up was the Shins. When the Shins released their first two albums when I was in high school. I'm talking about
you were going to talk about like your first like...
My first what?
Your first...
My first good thing that happened to me in high school?
No, like your first romantic experience in a movie theater or something terrible.
I mean, I could talk about that too.
No,
it wouldn't be.
Don't.
No, it's not terrible.
Please don't.
It was gingerly just sort of rubbing pinkies with name withheld here, but we were in Prince of Egypt and my parents were there with me. I'm talking about the Shins on this segment. Have you heard of them?
I am familiar. Yeah.
You got to listen to this one song. It's going to change your life.
Oh, no.
You fell right into my trap. They've released a bunch of albums, obviously, since I've been in high school, and they've been good. But I really want to drill down into their first two albums. 2001 was O Inverted World that came out, and that one had some tracks you might know from the movie Garden State that came out in 2004. But before Garden State, in 2003, Shoots Too Narrow came out, and that one is just front to back, just all fucking good. Good songs. Were you down with Shins in this like in this era? I feel like everybody.
Yes,
kind of
I had a moment while I was living in Chicago, which was from like 2004 to 2007.
Yes,
that I was a Shins enthusiast.
2004 is obviously when I got on board because it's when Garden State came out, and I was like obsessed with that movie when I was a junior in high school. And then these two albums, having just a vault of Shins music to listen to. Was really eye-opening. And the type of music they were making really split the uprights for like 17-year-old me's interests. So The Shins was this side project from James Mercer, who was the lead singer. He was also in a band called Flake Music with some of the other members of like original members of The Shins, which I don't know if you've ever listened to Flake Music. It sounds a lot like The Shins.
Okay.
Which was apparently like a real conflict between the two bands. It's really good. I really like Flake Music. I actually didn't know that it existed until I was in a record store like 3 years ago here in Austin. And I heard The Shins and I was like, whoa, is this new Shins? They're like, no, it's pre-Shins. It's Flake Music. And it was really nice. But eventually Flake like pseudo disbanded, pseudo kind of like transformed into The Shins. They started touring with Modest Mouse. During that time when they were touring, James Mercer was like preparing the songs for O Inverted World. He was going through some tough stuff. Like he was living in Albuquerque, and the music scene there wasn't doing so well. And he started to become kind of resentful of a lot of the folks he grew up with. And I think you get that a lot in the album, especially in New Slang, which is just like explicitly about that exact thing. New Slang was their single that like set the indie rock world on fire and made their first album like this hugely anticipated thing. And then it came out, and obviously like I didn't listen to it because it was 2001, and I listened to like three bands total in my entire life at that point. But it was pretty successful. Obviously, Garden State sort of launched it into the stratosphere, and it's a little bit played. I feel like Garden State is a butt of an easy joke butt. But I feel like this is a good track. Caring is Creepy is on that album. That's a good one. But New Slang is the one I want to play a little bit of. And you've heard this song 1,000 times probably, but it's just really pretty and really nice.
Yes.
And I always get it very excited. Weirdly enough, I was in CVS today, and it was like playing over the radio as I walked in after I had just written these notes. And it was nice. It was nice. Here's New Slang. And if you turn It's got these like Simon and Garfunkel vibes that I really like.
I see that. I think it's interesting that you like transition from Ben Folds to Shins, because it seems like a natural progression to me.
Yeah, and Shins, what I really like owe to them is that Shins were like a gateway drug for me to like a lot of the bands that I was like obsessed with in college, like Clap Your Hands, Say Yeah, and Islands and Death Cab. Like Shins were like kind of the first, as much as I can look back on how much I like Garden State and find it kind of silly, the amount of music I was turned on to because of the soundtrack of that movie is like kind of
wild. Oh yeah,
I think
wild. That was true for a lot of people.
Yes. Also before Garden State came out, their second album came out, Shoots Too Narrow. And their first album was like well received, but this one was like really, really critically acclaimed. They still didn't have very many like resources because it was pre Garden State. So they recorded the album in Mercer's basement in like apparently a kind of rough part of Portland. And close to the end of their recording of the album, somebody broke in to the basement and stole their computer with all the master tracks on it. And they just had to do it again.
Oh my gosh.
But I mean, despite that rough patch that they went through there, the album was really, really, really good. It was a lot happier and sort of poppier than the kind of quiet keyboard led stuff on
Uninverted
World.
During that time period, at least for me, if I had to like explain to somebody what indie music was, I would have definitely had the Shins on that list.
This and Modest Mouse. And the fact that they like toured together, you could kind of just like go there and then not go to a concert for 10 years and then kind of still be able to follow what's going on. So anyway, the music is like more guitar led and a lot like happier and more upbeat. And my favorite song on the album is what I'm going to play now to kind of show that off. And it's Mine's Not a High Horse. You are all on your side. Garden State came out a year after that, and then their songs started appearing in McDonald's commercials, and they were big fucking phony sellouts. So,
oh, Griffin,
who cares?
Says the man that did an entire episode of his podcast devoted to Totino's.
Listen. No, you don't understand. No, listen. That was for money. I don't know. I feel like the Shins was like a perfect kind of band for the age that I was at.
Yeah.
Because it was so clever, but it was also, I mean, there were a lot of clever bands around that time that I also found just unlistenable because they were very clever and smart and also like not musical in the way that I liked my music from like Ben Folds and They Might Be Giants. Mm-hmm. The Shins like was very approachable, but also like really, really clever and turned me on to a lot of other good music. And like I said, like their other music that they've come out with since then, I think they just released an album like last year. It's been good from what I've heard of it, but I don't think I will ever be as big a fan as I was during that sort of formative period of my life when I got turned onto their stuff.
I just came up with a new game as you were talking.
Okay.
We don't have to play it during the podcast.
I'm excited.
We've talked a lot about how particular albums or movies can come to you at the exact right time.
Yeah.
That would be a fun game to play with somebody you just got to know, of like just go back and forth naming albums or movies that came to you at like a very particularly important time period in your life.
That's good. Mm-hmm. So I could say, Bare Naked Ladies... what was the name of the album? It was like a single word album. It wasn't Crash. That was a Dave Matthews Band album. Anyway,
I would probably list Crash by Dave Matthews Band as one of my albums.
That's probably one of them too. Stunt by Bare Naked Ladies is up there.
Mm-hmm. I would say Tidal by Fiona Apple.
Blues Traveler, the one with the cat on the front cover of it.
Yeah. What was that one called? It's the one that had Hook on it.
Four. Was the name of that one.
Mm-hmm. The Blue Album, Weezer.
That one I missed a little bit. That one I was late to.
Ooh, it changed my life.
Yeah. Hey, what's your second thing?
My second thing is the way that your voice sounds when you inhale helium.
I'm excited to learn about this. Are you bringing this because of the new, I think it's a Geico commercial where like the helium truck explodes and the cops are like speaking, they have high, no, okay,
no.
That's just for me.
No, I honestly don't know exactly what brought this to mind today, but it did send me down like a YouTube rabbit hole, and I am pleased to report that there are videos of Vin Diesel inhaling helium.
Love it.
And Helen Mirren.
I once watched a YouTube video that explained anti-helium that can make your voice go lower.
I saw that when I was doing my research, but I didn't delve into it.
It's wild.
I haven't
it's
watched those
so
videos
wild
yet.
It's so good. It basically makes your voice super deep and it's in the alternate sort of opposite register. It's very good.
So this is apparently a popular game on Jimmy Fallon's Tonight Show.
You don't say.
I watched a few of these videos today, thinking that I might find a favorite. And honestly, it's just kind of always the same.
Mm-hmm.
And so I did some research into why that is.
It's just Jimmy saying, debase yourself, as he does with all of it. Smash this dirty egg on your head and then go take a shit in the middle of the stage.
It's just people with like kind of signature voices. So
yes.
Like Alan Rickman and Sofia Vergara, like he has all of them do it. And it's kind of similar results.
Mini small wonder, Alan Rickman. Continue.
Yeah. So here's how it works. Do you know how it works?
I have no idea how it works.
Okay. So the sound of your normal voice is determined by the shape of your mouth, throat, nasal passages, tongue, and lips.
Right. All my favorite stuff.
Uh-huh. Your voice begins in your larynx, and your larynx contains your vocal cords. These two folded membranes vibrate when air passes between them. These vibrations resonate through your throat, nasal passage, mouth, tongue, lips, create sound. The air you breathe is made up of mainly nitrogen and oxygen.
Right.
But helium is much less dense than regular air. Due to its lower density, sound travels over twice as fast through helium than it does regular air.
Okay. I understand everything you've said so far.
When you breathe in helium,
yes,
your voice travels much more quickly across your vocal cords.
And that's...
So it's not that the helium is changing the pitch of your voice. It is changing the frequency at which your vocal cords vibrate. So if you think about the chipmunks or like a track sped up,
yeah,
like the air is getting through your larynx faster and it's creating this kind of like sped up quality in your voice.
Well, and your vocal cords are vibrating twice as fast.
Exactly.
And because those are the things that actually form the...
Yes.
This is really interesting. It's interesting to do this actually and talk about this while we are looking at Audacity showing us our sound waves, because you can kind of visualize what that looks like.
So sound travels faster and thus the resonance of your vocal track changes and makes it more responsive to high frequency sounds.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm guessing anti-helium does... the opposite?
And I guess so. I didn't do research into that, but it would stand to reason.
It's chunky air, basically. Uh-huh. And your vocal cords really have to work to
get
through
it. What's interesting. So obviously prolonged inhalation of helium can be bad because you're not getting the oxygen you need.
Yes.
But doctors have sometimes used a mixture of helium and oxygen to treat things like COPD, because helium's lower density can help improve airflow in the lungs. But the effect only lasts as long as there's helium around your vocal cords.
Right.
So as soon as regular air replaces the helium, your voice returns to normal, which is why like people have to inhale helium, speak, and then immediately inhale helium again to like get the same effect.
I was always like really worried I would do it too much and die.
I know, right?
I'm glad I didn't.
Me too. I never like made a game out of it, but it is just always a treat.
It's fun.
It is universally a fun activity.
I didn't like it though when like I would be at a party and they'd be trying to get the balloons to go up, but then I would do the helium as a fun joke and people would yell at me because I was wasting good helium. That always hurt my feelings, and I don't know why they did it, because I was just trying to have a fun time too.
I know. Well, you always get the party started, Griffin.
I always show up at the party and I get it turned out, and it's because of my funny high voice I do from all the helium. That was a very pure segment, babe.
You know, it's a simple pleasure.
It's a nice sort of diametrically opposed to your first segment.
True crime podcast and inhaling
and funny
helium.
Balloon jokes. You know, I almost did balloons this episode. That would have been wild.
Really?
Yeah.
You know, we're complex people, you and me.
Yeah, I mean, I like boats and early aughts indie rocks, so can't beat that. Hey, thank you so much for listening. Hey, do you want to hear some submissions from our friends at home?
Hey, I sure do.
Hey, okay. This one's from Aiden, who says, there's a few crows that live by my dorm that I give food to sometimes. Crows are very smart and can recognize faces of people they like, so sometimes they follow me to the cafeteria or my classes. I'm so sorry to hear that, Aiden.
You've made a
bed for yourself there that sounds just...
That's kind of adorable, though, if you think about it.
It's adorable behavior for any animal to exhibit.
I have to imagine people that see this person on campus, like, oh, it's the crow folk.
It's the crow folks. Here they come. Here's one from KT, who says, something I think is wonderful is the instant you decide to go home. There's a distinct moment between realizing you no longer want to be at a place and remembering that you're an adult and can just leave, and it is such a relief every time it happens.
Griffin McElroy.
Yeah.
There is no more appropriate small wonder than this for you and me.
Yeah, this is actually the basis of mine and Rachel's entire romance.
Griffin, more than any other compliment he has given to our relationship, the one thing that stands out is that we both like to leave at the same time.
Exact same time. Every fucking time. Every time we're at a party, we will look at each other and just like not even need to say anything.
He brags about this to other couples as if we are describing a very like powerful piece of our relationship.
It is.
Like, hey, you guys, I know you think you've got something special, but me and Rachel, we like to leave at the same time.
It's true. One last one from Madison, who says, the Twitter account Bodega Cats, an endless supply of pictures of cats in bodegas. Nothing's better than scrolling through Twitter and stumbling upon a cat curled up with some cup of noodles or laying on some LaCroix or snoozing in a Snickers box.
Who submitted this?
This is from Madison.
Thank you, Madison.
Thank you, Madison.
I'm going to look into this.
We're going to put our best folks on this right
now.
Thank you
so much, Madison.
Thank you so much. And thank you at home for listening. Thanks to Bowen and Augustus for the use of our theme song, Money Won't Pay. You can find a link to that in the episode description. And thank you so much to Maximum Fun. Max Fun Drive is coming up very soon. Really looking forward to that. We are a pledge funded network and we are a pledge funded show, and your support has allowed us to grow and turn this into a career and start touring and do all kinds of great stuff. And I can't say how much your support means to me, because
can
it's
I give
changed
an example
my life.
Of
yes.
How the support has changed our lives.
Yes.
I used to sit on a piano bench.
Rachel
now
used to see us sit on a piano bench.
I sit on a real folding chair.
A real big girl chair.
Thanks to your support.
But yeah, it's coming up here in a couple weeks. We will make sure to tell you more. You can support us and support your favorite shows on the network. Get some cool stuff in return. But more on that later. What else? I mean, there's the Max Fun shows that you know and love.
Yes. I am always hitting that Max Fun website to see what is on there week to week. There's a really great episode of Jordan Jesse Go this week with Matt Bronger. There's a great Stop Podcasting Yourself with Paul F. Tompkins. It's a star-studded week here at Max Fun. I encourage you to check it out.
Not to mention, the rebirth of Dr. Game Show has come to Maximum Fun. It's a very fun game show from Joe Firestone and Manolo Moreno. And they play games that their listeners just like send in ideas for, and then they play them with their callers. It's a very, very good, very pure show also. And that's new on Maximum Fun now. Yeah, there's a bunch of good stuff. Anything else?
That's all I got.
That's all I got, too. I'm plum out. I'm freaking empty over here. Look at me over here, all hollowed out.
Oh, no.
I'm all empty. Need to fill myself back up with podcast stuff. Because over here, I'm plum tuckered and plum hollered out. I'm firing frog's hair, split four ways.
Oh, my all gosh.
Plum tuckered.
I need like a compendium of all of your Appalachian expressions.
Well, I'm angrier than a corn crow at midnight on the 4th of July. Bye.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Listener supported.
I'm Bailiff Jesse Thorne, and justice is within your reach.
My mom refuses to take my phone calls.
My boyfriend says I should take our cats with me to graduate school, but I think he should keep them.
In the court of Judge John Hodgman, justice rules.
My partner's board game collection is out of control.
My sister won't stop stealing my clothes.
I'm Judge John Hodgman. I'm tough, but fair. I'll bring you justice, and I'm only a click away.
Tipping, automotive etiquette, siblings, roommates. If you've got a case, go to MaximumFun.org/JJHO. Judge John Hodgman is tough, but fair. Subscribe to the podcast today.
Judge John Hodgman rules. That is all.